T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've got on the phone right now, nationally known psychologist and author of Power of Agency. We say good morning to Dr. Anthony Rao. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are the two of you doing?
You know, thanks for asking. Survived this week. That's a win.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
You know,
I did an awe ride yesterday. I know we've talked about awe walks, but I did an awe ride, which is I get on my Schwinn and I ride until, oh man, I've gone far enough. And that was about it was a 3-hour journey yesterday.
Wow. So,
and awe, my calves hurt today. So
you went from awe to ow.
Yeah, something like that. But I've been taking this COVID time to really explore the outdoors and kind of, you know, do that outdoor activity that I couldn't do before. So that being said, Doc, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks.
Yeah, no, and this I came across a study that I thought was really cool and was awe walks promote like pro-social and positive emotions. And I'm like, I'm going to have to like take a little look at that. It just sounded so strange at first. I thought, you know, is this like, oh, like look at the puppies playing or the toddler, you know, going down the street. You know, it's this idea that things are awesome. And then I was thinking, you know, we kind of overuse that word. It's like awesome means amazing. This is more like, you know, just noticing these things around you that have always been there and just be a little bit more curious. And this study showed that, you know, particularly for older adults, just if they go out, say, a 15-minute walk once a week and a little bit more conscious in the front end, like I'm going to go out, I'm going to look at small things, I'm going to open my mind, like during that experience, not only do they get the benefits of the fresh air and the outdoors and the natural light, which I know I've been pushing on and on every week with everyone to get outside, they had this extra benefit of just sort of like getting out of their head and appreciating small things, getting perspective. And I thought, you know, this is like perfect. This is exactly what we need. And this is a real good reason to get outdoors. But again, the trick is up front, tell yourself, when I go to explore, I'm just going to like go out and, yeah, maybe there's a leaf, there's a tree, I'm going to look at the bark, I'm going to listen to the birds, I'm just going to go a little more in with what's out there and get out of my head.
Well, there is the old saying, take time to stop and smell the roses. And that's kind of what these planned walks are about. Maybe your neighborhood isn't walk friendly. Find one that is. Take a little drive to go to a place and kind of soak it up. Or maybe you just aren't appreciating what's in your backyard. I love all of this advice for the awe walks.
Yeah, and it seems crazy that we, you know, it seems like such common sense, right?
Uh-huh.
That we have to actually have studies now to sort of push us into this.
Yeah.
You know, and since and I get it. You know, I think this is a very cultural thing in America. You know, we love to be indoors, and when we're indoors, we're not going to be moving, we're not going to get natural light, and we're also going to be around screens. You know, you get kids, for example, outdoors, you know, they're away from their screens, there's no couches, there's no barca lounges, you know, it's like even standing and walking or even sitting and playing, there's all this extra movement and all the senses, right, of us go to, you know, the smells, the sounds, the taste, the feel of wind, the multi-sensory thing. When we're back on our screens or indoors, it's kind of limited, mostly to visual, maybe a little bit of what comes through our ears. And you're kind of like not being a full person, you know? So getting outdoors helps. And, you know, Nick, you might appreciate this because I'm sure your kids have brought to you over the years, especially when they're younger, little things, right? Like how many times do kids bring like, oh, look at this acorn or look at this leaf.
Oh, they collect the craziest stuff.
Like, oh, honey, that's great. You know, you just.
Sure, bring it inside.
I mean, I would rake it up, but for you, it's a treasure.
Now,
yeah.
You know, because we've lost that. And, you know, and it sounds crazy. We had a big storm here the 2 days ago. So a lot of trees came down and there's stuff everywhere. And so I'm out and about and I'm looking down. And, I have the misfortune of being around a ton of oaks that just shed acorns like crazy. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking to myself, because I'd seen this study, like, I need to try this. And it's like, you know, all these acorns look a little different. Some of them look like faces. Some of them, and there's this like funny joy, you know, positive escape out of a world that otherwise is just attacking us every day with so much information that scares us.
Did you think acorns, and they wear hats?
they wear little hats. Mm-hmm.
Little beanies. You know?
The squirrels get a hold of them. They
right.
wear little hats.
Little hats.
And I know it sounds silly, but it's that sort of inner part of us that's still like a child, and I mean in a good way, naturally mm-hmm. curious. They can position themselves as learners. They go out and they do that. At some point, we drop that. It's somewhere around, I think, middle school, where many mm-hmm. of us become more self-conscious and how do we look, and we're changing into young adults. Mm-hmm. We kind of lose that. We sometimes think of it as innocence, but it's awe. It's this idea of like, wow, this really has something to it. It feels really interesting to me. I kind of want to know more. I want to touch it. I want to sense it. Isn't it cool? And it isn't over the top or highly sensationalized. It's very simple. It's very natural.
So if we go on an awe walk this weekend with our family, should it be one that's quiet or should it be one with conversation? How should we guide the awe walk?
I mean, I can see it both ways. A mix is great. In the study, they actually had the group that they explained what awe was, and when you go out, try it, and another group that was just a control group. And they actually asked them to also bring their phone so that they can just take pictures along the way. And the reason they did this is they went back and they saw that the selfies that were taken by people who did sort of more of the awe walk had bigger smiles. And they also reported. Yeah, so it's like it's something real. They were just enjoying themselves more. So I can see the idea of, you know, we don't want to bring the electronics along, like maybe snap a few pictures. I think sort of times when we can be sort of quiet, if people want to like contemplate more, meditate, if you will, while they're walking. But sharing like the experience sounds like a great idea.
So here we are in October, still dealing with COVID-19, remote learning, life-changing. Changing the subject just a little bit. What if we still have people in our lives that are very negative and we're still coming across most of the things they talk about as negative? Is there a way we can guide people that we love into more positive, like, thoughts and emotions without being like, hey, you're like a negative Nancy. We need to change this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think even starting with a little light humor at the right moment like that, you're a negative Nancy, a Debbie Downer, like uh-huh. if you can plant that in, it's helpful information if the person is open enough to sort of say, oh yeah, you're right, and they get it. They might not at the moment, they might be a little bit defensive, but you've said it, and that might be a little nice boundary or sort of line in the sand to put in once in a while, mm-hmm. but chances are, you know, these people are going to get more pessimistic, and more of us are going to slide into that quicksand of pessimism with more and more information coming. And so, and just the exhaustion, right? So,
yeah.
So it's going up. And what I would say is also think about protecting yourself first. And then when you do communicate to others, when I say, you know, protect yourself, like, you know, it's all right to be compassionate, nurture others, be around others. But the more we're around them, they will drag our emotions downward. It's harder to lift people's emotions up than to have our own emotions be dragged down. So just kind of keep an eye on that if you want to stay more in the realistic and optimistic end of things. And for those other people, it's finding the right time and just, you know, listening a little bit. And then maybe offering one thing, not that you tell them to do, but one thing that you've done. You know, it's funny. I know and I appreciate what that's like, and it is hard. I find that when I just do this one thing, that really, really helps me. And you mm-hmm. leave it at that. That's probably mm-hmm. the best thing to do for a young adult and up, you know, because it's that yep. whole idea that you can't lecture them. They'll shut down. They'll defend. They're closed.
On the phone this morning with nationally known psychologist and author, Dr. Anthony Rao. So with the patients that you've been seeing, have you seen any kind of a good shift in emotion as schools restarted, however that looks, that schools restarted and we're getting into some kind of a routine?
It's all over the place, right? So it's a lot about what kind of child and how old they were before all this hit. So, you know, the quieter kids, I think, with less social contact, have gotten even a little bit more anxious about returning, but it's really healthy for them. It's just that it's sort of catch as catch can, and it keeps changing and shifting. And then there's different types of schools, because they're private schools or charter schools, and they can maneuver the kids in a way that works better with the space. So it's all over the place. And when they check in with kids they know from, say, other towns or other leagues or teams or cousins, it's like everyone's having a different experience. I think that's what's really strange, is that suddenly we're all in our own little set of, you know, experiences. And I think that's just going to be weird for a while. And, you know, I'm telling people, try to tape and glue and fix what you can. Try to make it a little better, but change your expectations. This is a lot like a bit of a lost, weird year.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get to the spring. And the spring can be a little early. We can think March or April, and just we've got to get through this, you know. And the reality is that the first year of any pandemic is the worst. I mean, the first winter season is the worst.
Okay.
So we just got to sort of buckle down and not get too complacent. Right now, all we have, and I know I'm going off a little bit on this, but I think it's so important to keep reminding people, all we have are our behaviors, but they're powerful to protect us. So just stick to those things, because we tend to sort of like, oh, I see that your nose is peeking over your mask, or, you know, she's not wearing a mask, I'm not, you know, we have a tendency to go back to normal. Just hang in there a little while and be a little tough with ourselves. But to go back to what you're saying about the kids, it is all over the place what I'm hearing. And it's everything from, this is not working out so bad, I miss my friends, but I'm going to be okay, to just real social isolation, particularly the kids in the teen years.
Yeah.
Got a professional question. When you are treating a child as a child psychologist, and it's clear that the problem is the parent, how do you treat the parent? Because that tends to be the root. How do you do
question.
That diplomatically and nicely?
Yeah, no, great point, because we used to call it, when I was in training, the dirty little secret of child psychology is, it's really the parent. It's not to blame the parent. It's to point out to the parent that, like, these, like, behaviors in which they're doing their best, or how they were trained when they were kids watching their own parents parent them, that's the only place you learn how to do this, is that it didn't fit with the personality and the style of the kid. And then you've got conflict and issues. And then, of course, really caring parents, really nurturing parents who may be a little anxious can really overdo it and hover. So a lot of it is getting clarity and not blaming anyone, particularly not the kid, because most of the time, you know, kids are brought in and the assumption is, can you fix this kid? There's something going on in there. All the diagnoses given to kids are about something going on in their brain, nothing to do with the parent or the or marriage problem or an economic challenge or a bad school system, or it's always put on the kid. So, yeah, we kind of say, look, let's not blame. You actually have a lot of power, parents. This is true. Parents actually have the power to reverse a lot of things, because they control a lot of things. But we've got to get their emotional systems first in line. We've got to get them to calm down. We've got to get them not to project all sorts of fear or worries or anger. And then once those patterns of behavior on the surface change, we see that the symptoms can lift in the kid.
Huh. That's every parent's going, what? It's not me? Not at all.
Never.
And finally, before we let you go, I don't know if you had a chance to see it this week, but one of probably the most uplifting things was the guy on the longboard whose truck broke down. So he's taking his longboard to work, and he's got his big thing of cranberry juice, the ocean spray, and playing Dreams by Fleetwood Mac, and it went viral. And for some reason, it just worked and brought joy to so many people. What do you think it is about those kind of moments that grabs everybody's attention? And now that song's number one on iTunes. It's just crazy that vibe, that happy, like, easygoing vibe, caught everybody's attention.
It's really amazing. Like, what is the magic of that? What is the sort of secret of how that happens? And I think it starts with, you know, a small number of people really that see something, respond, and then these people are sort of the social ones that send it out. And then once I think it gets a critical mass, the rest of us get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I have a very good friend. She's a bit older. She sends out regularly to a small group of people interesting articles, and she's now doing these daily humor things. And she somehow finds these things, puts them in our little mailboxes, if you will, and then we send those out, and she's got them from other people. But there's this contagion of good, not just always bad, which is, I know, what we're focusing on today. I think we are so hungry for that. Just one human, fun moment that reminds us, like, this is who we really are and have been, and we can get back to that.
Yeah, I hope we do. And here's to everybody using social media, finding that one good thing to share could spread that contagious happiness. Always good talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too, guys. Take care.
Awesome. Dr. Anthony Rao, psychologist, author of Power of Agency on KISS 98.5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.